Now I'll read from the Bible. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Now I'll read. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. To be able to worship you and sing songs of praise to you and to come before you, Lord, is truly because of your grace, and we thank you for that. Dear God, we know that in the past week in our lives, there's been various things that have happened, but allow us to come quietly before you again today and to wait for you. Allow us to be able to worship you once more. Please, Lord, give each and every one of us what it is that we need in our lives, whether it's wisdom or healing or various other things. We ask, Lord, that we can eagerly await you and that you will be working in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Yesterday was a special day. They use the Japanese play on words for 22 to mean a good relationship between couples. And I was able to enjoy a cake in celebration of that. And amongst couples, some have children, obviously. Long ago, the house that I was next to the one that I lived in was this a grandmother, and her name was Tome in Japanese. And it's possible that actually she was born into a family that had a lot of children. And the parents were probably like, wow, we don't need any more. So they chose her name to be Tome, which means stop. In the past, that's actually what happened. There would be people that would name their children like stop or something when they didn't want any more. Or they would just name their children like what number they were. So like the 11th child was number 11. When my oldest son was going to be born, I wanted him to be actually named Hallelujah. And it could also be written as his name read as say with the same kanji, but I wanted the meaning to be Hallelujah. However, people around me were totally opposed to this. Well, you can't name your child Hallelujah. But I said that it would be a name that could be used anywhere in the world. But they're like, nope, you can't use that one. And so all these people opposed it, and so I chose a different name. And we saved part of the kanji and named him Elijah instead. However, if anyone else wants to name their child Hallelujah, I can recommend it. Hallelujah is a word that we use when we praise God, but the word Hallelujah itself is actually a combination of two words, Hallelujah, and it means to praise the Lord, and it's actually like a command to do so. So it isn't a command to yourself, but also to others. And in this way, we can sing out to our Lord. And the passage we read today is actually a little different, though. It's talking about, it says, praise the Lord, my soul. And so this means to like have a blessing, and it's a slightly different meaning. However, this isn't something you're telling others, but it's actually something that this person is telling themselves. And Psalm 42 and 43 are similar in this, where it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul." And then it says also, like, and so this is just speaking to yourself and encouragement of yourself. By praising the Lord, we too can be encouraged. And regardless of how many mistakes and faults that we have, we can still praise the Lord and make that decision to do so. When you're feeling down or your faith is kind of wavering, when you hear psalms or songs and even coming to the worship services, it's likely you'll feel much better. After singing some songs this morning, it's likely that maybe you're even doing a little better than you were when you first came in. You can feel a little better from doing so. In the Bible, it says that God lives in praise and songs of praise, and you can see how that is true in your own life. When you hear the word hallelujah, you can also realize that you have the desire to worship God when you receive such a command. However, there may be some circumstances where you, maybe this is difficult to you. People around you may, if you don't have the opportunity to go to worship services and so on, it may be difficult. Or there may be a limit to what people can do for you around you. For example, in some songs of praise, there may be some songs where it's difficult to sing, or certain words of praise that are difficult for you to hear or to intake. And sometimes you may not feel as blessed when you go somewhere. For example, if you go to a prayer meeting and you yourself, you know, didn't get as much out of it as usual, or sometimes you can feel the result in a reverse result. However, here it's talking about praise the Lord, my soul, and it's this person telling themselves to praise the Lord. And the voice you hear the most is obviously your own. It's one that you hear all the time. And you also hear what you say, like things to yourself, for example. I often say things to myself. And for example, like Superman, when I go to go to the supermarket, Superman. And I it's not that I'm told to go. I decide to go. And I often go to Comachine, which is near by. But and I actually know what is on which row of the store. So I can really quick, I can just go in and go out and get what I need to get. However, sometimes they change the layout of the store. And I was like, oh my gosh, it used to be here. Now it's not. Where is it? And then I'm like, where is it? Where is it? So I start talking to myself. I'm like, well, it used to be here, but it's not here. So I start talking out loud to myself in the store. And my voice is a little loud, apparently. Just the other day, there was this other woman who was nearby, and she heard me talking to myself, and she like looked over at me when I started talking. And so I just, for example, in the COVID era, I had to wear a mask, so people didn't notice me talking to myself so much time. But it is true that I do talk to myself sometimes, and I obviously am the one who's listening to myself the most. If you hear negative things, then that tends to make you more negative. And if you hear positive things, it tends to make you more positive. However, there's a thing in English called the negativity bias. And it's kind of like this psychological tendency where if you hear a lot of negative things, you start thinking and your heart kind of goes in that direction. There's this tendency to do so. So if there's something that's bad, for example, on TV, and you hear it or see it, and then your heart goes in that direction. But if it's a good story, happy news, like, for example, like there's a baby panda or something that was born, and then you go see it on the TV, then you're just like, oh, that was nice. However, about the fires in Oita recently or other earthquakes, and you'd be like, oh my gosh, what happened? And it just ends up that you have this natural tend to see negative things and hold on to that tighter than that which is good. And we pay more attention to such things, that's exactly what it is, a negative bias. We have to make decisions proactively as to which type of information we pay attention to and let into our minds. And this also impacts our spiritual growth as well. For example, if we hear a lot of positive things from the Bible, then that will be able to allow ourselves to grow spiritually more. If we focus on God's goodness and all the wonderful things he's done and all the things he's done for us in the past and so on, like what's mentioned in the verse today, not forgetting all of his benefits, if we just remember those things and focus on them, that will lead our hearts in that direction. This year on the January 1st service, Pastor Joey talked about the topic of using notebooks and having devotion on a daily basis, and he encouraged people to do so. How many people are you actually doing that now? It looks like you either forgot it or maybe you're not doing that. Actually, during this worship service, the previous service, nobody actually raised their hand, and actually they've kept a record of who has these notebooks, and people who are actually using them, actually they can actually figure out who is. I encourage you though to please write down these good things that God does in your life, so you'll be able to reflect on them later on and have that be a benefit to you then as well. That's why it's very important to remember the good things God has done for you. And this is something that you need to do for yourself, not somebody is going to do for you. This is something you need to be responsible. So even if there is not the opportunity to sing a song with other people or go to a church service or whatever, you still can take the responsibility for proactively seeking God. Even if you don't feel like it, if you tell yourself to focus on God and to proactively think about him, that can change your perspective. And in heaven, there's this like a dam with water in it. And this water, in a sense, is something that we can receive from God, and we can make that decision. And choosing to praise God and focus God will open these spiritual floodgates to allow this water to come into us. We can't just sit around waiting for somebody to open the floodgate for us. We are the ones who have opened that and allow these blessings to flow into our lives. So I'd like you to remember that and tell your soul to praise the Lord, as we was just saying in the Psalm a moment ago. So David's words were encouraging us as to what it is that we're to singing about. He said, "Do not forget all of his benefits." So the benefits are good things. You may wonder what exactly are these good things. David said that all of our iniquities have been forgiven, and he heals our diseases. And he redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. So these are the good things that he's speaking of, it seems. However, this is kind of like difficult to understand. What does iniquity mean? You often hear the word sin, but iniquity is kind of a different word. It sounds like maybe something you'd hear about in the Edo period, maybe. And you may be called out there about some ancient person by Toyama and what he did. And anyway, iniquities is something that means a sin and or flaw or shortcoming that is worthy of condemnation. So in Japanese, these are things that are acts that constitute sin. And that's in the dictionary, even it means to condemn a mistake. Iniquities before God are judged by God, and without God's forgiveness, then it cannot be forgiven. However, if you think about iniquity, it's kind of hard to think about what that means in your life, perhaps. David, however, used this word iniquities, and he tells us not to forget all of our benefits. People who believe in God, for example, from a young age, can reflect on this. When David was young, he was able to battle lions and bears and so on, and used God's power and strength to be able to do so. And he was able to actually overcome the giant Goliath with a single stone. And he also was able to get away from the hand of Saul on multiple occasions from various difficult circumstances. David was able to be protected. So there was a lot of good things in David's life. However, he first mentions that the best thing is that his sin or his iniquities have been forgiven. For David, the most or the best thing in his life was not all these other things God had done for him, but that he had had his sins forgiven, his iniquities forgiven. And he, for example, his relations with Bathsheba. He was the king of Israel, and as the king, he was able to do amazing things. However, there was one day where perhaps he had, he had other things done anyway, and he was able to see a beautiful woman taking a bath out, and he thought she was quite beautiful and asked who she was, and he found out that she was the wife of another man, and she unfortunately he had relations with her, and she had a child. David tried to cover this up and had Uriah, her husband, tried to get him to cover for this. However, that didn't work out. And so David had Uriah put to the front line of a battle and intentionally killed. It happened just as he had desired. And so David thought he was able to hide everything. And of course, some people would have known, but they wouldn't have said anything. But he felt this iniquity in his heart, even though he thought he had covered everything up. At that time, God sent a prophet by the name of Nathan to him, and he told David that there was two men. One was very wealthy and had all these sheep, and this other man was very poor and only had one. And there was a guest who came to the older man's house, and he wanted to have lamb steak for him. And he had a lot of sheep, of course, but he didn't want to take one of his sheep for this guest. So he took the sheep from this poor man and killed it to give to the guest. And David's face started to get full of anger as he heard this story. And he said, "Whoever did this, it needs to be killed. This is unforgivable." And as soon as he said that, though, Nathan said, "That man is you. That is you. That man is you." Can you imagine if you were told that? How was it for David? As for how I imagine it, he would probably shaking. Because he knew his sin in his heart. And he knew that he had tried to hide it. But he was told, "That man is you." And he would have bowed down and said, "Yes, I have sinned. Please forgive me." He did repent. As a result, the child he had with Bathsheba did pass away. However, his sin was forgiven, and he was able to continue being king of Israel. As for Israel, this would have been an unforgettable instance in his life. And in Psalm 32 and 51, it references this. And likely Psalm 23 is the most famous one. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." However, I think that rather than Psalm 23, it's likely that for David, he was truly speaking of his personal experience and his personal thoughts was likely mostly mentioned in Psalm 51, because that was where it mentions that his iniquities were forgiven. Around the world, one of the most famous songs of praise, I think, is "Amazing Grace." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And here it's, and this is very interesting how it is written. It's talking about this, just Jesus who is saving us. Jesus is our friend, and he can understand all of our pain. And this is who he is. However, in this song, it's speaking more about how Jesus has forgiven us for such things. So, "Amazing Grace" sings of this. The song that was just mentioned was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now we're moving on to "Amazing Grace." And John Newton came to meet Christ after he was a slave boat captain in a severe storm. At the first part of "Amazing Grace," it says, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." So this wretch that is referring to here is saved, it says. And a wretch is like a despicable person or a villain. And sometimes it was used as to refer to like a vicious animal or something, or some animal that was causing a lot of trouble. And there, so you can see how God, or how David was thinking that he was something less than a terrible animal. As for yourself, do you ever think of yourself in this way? Maybe not, but even David seemed to have this opinion of himself. And he feared God, and he feared God's judgment. And God said to David that he has, in 2 Samuel 12:13, "The Lord is taking away your sin, you are not going to die." Can you think of how David may have felt then? He would have been filled with joy that his iniquities were completely forgiven. For him in his life, this would have been the highest point, the best thing that ever happened, because he had all these, terrible thing done that had been forgiven, as well as many others. And that is what can be said possibly about us as well, the best thing in our life. As for ourselves, there's different ways that we come to know God, like healing from Him, or also possibly from having our life taken out of the pit, in a sense, when there was some desperate situation we faced, either at workplace or financial or whatever, and we were saved. So there's all kinds of situations that can actually lead us to faith in Christ. And that's where David is telling us to not forget all of these good things, these benefits. However, when you think about this order, then you can see how David first mentions the best thing was the forgiveness of iniquities, right? Starting yesterday, these workshop services, I've asked at every service. As you who believe in Christ, did you realize that you had sin and you needed to be forgiven, and that you needed a Savior? And so like that's what happened, that Jesus, is that true for you? You realize that you were a sinner, yes? Maybe 7 or 8 people? Okay. As a result, in the other worship services, there was about 10 people. And now in this service, there are about 7 to 8. So amongst about 300 people in total, there's not even 20. Is that right? Usually we have difficulties with other people, make mistakes, or have other difficulties, and we pray to God. And that's how we can come to know God. And, you know, that's normal for a lot of people. I think so. However, if that's the only the extent of your relationship with God, then maybe you haven't realized that the order of what you're most grateful for is possibly different than what David mentions. After David became a king, and through his issue with the instance with Bathsheba, then he has experienced the definite need for great forgiveness. He was aware that he could not do what was the best thing at all times, and he realized just how terrible he was. He realized that he truly did have have iniquities or sin in his life, and through Jesus' forgiveness and grace and God's grace, he was able to be saved. You may think that you're a good person, but when you really think about the dark or wrong places in your life, in your heart, you can see that that isn't the case. You can realize at those times that Jesus, you really do need a Savior. And perhaps from Romans 1, then you can still remember what it is. Because it, of course, there are very good things that have happened in our lives, but the best is got to be that our sins are forgiven. I hope you will remember that and keep that in mind. That is to truly be the top reason. And it's likely you'll experience that at some point if you haven't already. And you can refer back to God and later in your life as well. This can be the top good thing in your list of good things in your life. David also says that God will fill us with good things. And these good things, first of all, are the forgiveness of iniquities, then also healing of diseases, redeeming our life from the pit, and crowning ourselves with love and compassion. Good things, though, aren't just limited to those. In the U.S., there's a type of psychology that teaches that you will be blessed by God in all kinds of ways if you come to faith in Christ. However, even if you aren't totally blessed in all ways and you have various financial or physical difficulties, that can actually be seen as a blessing or a good thing depending on the person and situation. There was one time when I went to a mini church and they had this Tomohiro Hoshino poem on the wall, and it was called Mongo. And there was a very beautiful poem there, and it was kind of very similar to something someone else had written. The English translation says, "I give way to rain, I give way to wind, I give way to summer heat. I can't do anything, even though there is a sick person in the east, and even though there is someone who is in trouble in the west. I want to be strong, so I take care of myself and eat healthy food. I like delicious things. I don't like things that are not delicious. I want money. I want clothes. I'm that kind of a person. I'm lying in bed on my back. As for myself, I take supplements every day. Today, too, after the first service, I took my daily supplements. And yesterday, on the 22nd, I bought a cake and I enjoyed eating that. I wanted to eat it. And I wanted to eat delicious something. I wanted to go to a good place. And I do want to wear nice clothes and so on. Right? As Mr. Hoshino said, he was reflecting on himself and how he had all these selfish desires and was very focused on himself, even though he couldn't even move. And had to just live in the bed looking up at the ceiling because he was paralyzed from neck down. So he realized how prideful he was actually in a sense. And he realized that compared with other people, he had a difficult time in his life being paralyzed. However, he chose to see his life as a good thing and see all of the positive aspects as well. He realized that his sins had been forgiven and that he did have a blessed family, a good family relationship, and so on. And negative things that he thought and his health situation were things that actually helped teach him about God's love and grace. There is one person who only was able to blink his eyes. He wasn't able to see clearly, by the name of Genzo Mizuno. And he wrote a book, If I Hadn't Suffered. And in there, a famous part was the word, the sentence, if I had not suffered, I would not have known God's love. As for him and the difficulties he had in his life, they were very real. But because of those, he was able to actually come to know God. So through these difficulties, actually, they turned out to be a good thing for him. So David is telling us not to forget the benefits God has given us and to be grateful for them. He's cautioning us against forgetting them. Around ourselves, there's all kinds of things that happen and many good things. If we choose to focus on them and actually express gratitude, that'll change our way of thinking. And there's one thing I've said in other services, so I'll say them here as well. Around 20, 30 years ago, my right hand suddenly became kind of numb, and I wasn't able to use it as I usually do, and wasn't able to write very well. At first, I wrote large letters, but then I couldn't write anything small. And when I tried to write, my hand would shake. there's one person who said it might be a nerve in my neck. And so I had an MRI taken of that. I hadn't gone to the hospital, a doctor, in a while, but I went to a neurologist. And they did an MRI of my mind, my brain, and it was empty. Just kidding. No, I did have a brain, so there wasn't any problem, actually. However, they did say it was some nerve issue, so they asked me to try taking some kind of medicine to help with it. I try it once, and the next day, even though my hand shook, I was able to write. And I was like, whoa. Oh my gosh, my hand moves. And this had been after a long time when it hadn't worked. And I'd always asked my wife to write for me. And she's much better at writing. And I still, even today, actually have her to write things for me. We have the bookstore here at the church of Kushima. Son is in charge of that. And there's a person helping with that in regards to neurology issues. And there's a 8-character space, a notebook for elementary school students. And it's where children can practice writing hiragana or katakana. And at first I was unable to write, unable to use one of those to write very clearly, but then I got better and I was so proud of myself. And I even showed my wife, hey, look, I can write better now. And she's like, wow, good job. And she even clapped for me. She's like, wow, that's a good job writing. And somebody's clapping for me too. Yeah. So I was very happy about this. Of course, this is size 8 paper, so it's like not that big of an accomplishment. However, I realized that if I could find joy and happiness and even being able to do that, that is a good thing. And that there are other things, obviously, in my life that are good that I'm just overlooking. If you really looked around your life, there'd be all kinds of amazing blessings around you that you're just taking for granted and not even noticing. So that's why David is encouraging us to not forget these benefits or these good things, and to forget about them could possibly just mean to just like not notice. Yesterday, you know, I ate cake, but I obviously forget about that, you know, even though it was good. What God is saying is that not just to, you know, be able to wear something or go somewhere and so on, but rather to just be aware that there's a lot of tiny little things around us that can be actually huge blessings if we actually choose to focus on them and notice them. And he also says, David also says that your youth will be renewed like eagles. You can realize, oh my gosh, you know, I can do all of these other things. And that is God's grace. It's likely that around you in your lives, there are such things as well. I'm not sure how much better I'll become at writing, but I am able to at least do what I can, and I am very thankful for what abilities God has given to me. This is 25 years after having this problem. I am very happy, though, that I am able to do so and try not to forget it. It's likely that there are many great things in your lives as well, so please don't forget them and count them. Let's pray. Do not forget any of the Lord's benefits. The Lord fills our lives with good things. Dear Heavenly God, thank you for filling our lives with such wonderful things. And thank you most of all for forgiving our iniquities and allowing us to be able to have eternal life. Because we know with sin we can't go to heaven. So thank you so much for forgiving us and allowing us to be able to go to heaven. We thank you so much, first of all, for that. next, God, we also thank you for the various tiny little things in our daily lives that are truly blessings from you. Lord, we ask that we can be able to notice these things and not forget them and be grateful for them. And in this way, we'll be able to have a joy in what you've provided for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us this coming week and forevermore. Amen. Thank you very much.